Who would have ever thought 28 and sunny would feel like summer? So, hey, with all the snow and cold, this will make you feel good. Pitchers and catchers have reported to spring training for the Cardinals. So, yeah. And before too long, around St. Louis, we will be hearing this phrase again. Welcome to baseball heaven. You know how that started? Go back to the year 2000, Peter Gammons, who's the Hall of Fame announcer for ESPN, he said it's when the Cardinals acquired Jim Edmonds to be our center fielder when he was still in California. A guy named Mark McGwire picked up the phone and called him and said, hey, you are getting ready to experience what baseball is about. You're going to come play in the single greatest baseball city in all of the United States, in St. Louis, and it is going to be great. And then when Jim Edmonds finally arrived here in St. Louis, Mark McGwire greeted him and said, welcome to baseball heaven. And it kind of caught on, even today. Signs, stadium, whatever, welcome to baseball heaven. Now, if you're going to go to baseball heaven, if you're going to go watch a Cardinal game, I want to tell you there are no streets of gold there, but you better have some gold with you if you want loaded nachos, because it is pretty pricey. Today, we are not talking about baseball heaven. We're talking about the Bible's heaven, the real heaven. And that is the title of this seventh message in our end time series called All Things New. Today we're going to talk about the real heaven. I am so glad you're here in this second of three in-person services. Whether you are joining us live stream off our website, Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, radio audience, we welcome you and we're glad you are with us here too. This series called All Things New is based upon what our God said from his throne in heaven in Revelation 21:5, when he promised to make all things new. Life as we know it is not going to go on forever. Our God has an unstoppable plan to bring the ages to an end. He made everything out of nothing, and there is coming a day that he is going to turn everything back into nothing, and he is going to make a new heavens and a new earth, and today he wants to make people brand new. This series has a lot of reasons. One is that in these uncertain days we're living in, it should strengthen your faith to know that God is in control and has a certain future. I pray this series will bring hope to your life, to your marriage, to your family. I pray this series will help you realize all this is temporary and hold on and not give up. I pray this series will help all of us prioritize what really matters the most. Think of three things this week that really got you upset or you worried about or stressed about. Is it going to make a difference 10 billion years from now? I pray this series will help us have a greater burden and a deeper boldness to tell people about Jesus. This series is not about Bible information, although I'm grateful God allows us to learn his word. It's about transformation. Jesus wants to change our lives. We approach the topic of end times or eschatology with great humility. We do not know all things. When we're talking about heaven, there's more questions than answers. Folks, there's a lot of things about heaven we won't understand until we get there. For me as a pastor, this series has been pretty easy because people ask me questions and I just say, I don't know. And we got to be willing to do that. We know some things. What we know is incredible. Now, I believe God sets the series, or the timing and the events of those timing. And I believe that people and know that people who love Jesus and believe the Bible have different views of those things than I do. And that's okay. We all know that Christians win. I would ask you to open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to have two messages about heaven. Our next two messages about heaven, and all of it's going to come from Revelation 21 and 22. We're just going to look at the first five verses of Revelation chapter 21 in this first message about heaven, our seventh message in this series of All Things New called The Real Heaven. Revelation 21 verse 1 says this, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth passed away, also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. He who sat on the throne says, behold, I make all things new." That's where we get this series, All Things New. I will make all things new. He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God in his power, in verse 5, he's on his throne. God by his promise, he says these words are true. He says, I am going to make all things new. This is where we are on our end time calendar of God. We are living in the church age. This is the day that we, the Great Commission, were to tell people about Jesus. I believe the next event on God's calendar that could happen at any moment, no signs have to take place, is the rapture of the church. Jesus will return and his saved people will meet him in the air. After the rapture, there is a great separation. Believers go to heaven with Jesus, where we experience the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. During that same 7-year period, unbelievers stay on earth, where they experience the 7-year great tribulation. The great tribulation will end 7 years later when we come back to earth in our glorified bodies with Jesus in the second coming. That leads to the Battle of Armageddon. That leads to the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth, the millennium. Satan is released after 1,000 years, and it's the final revolt. And after the final revolt, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, that's when our Lord is going to dissolve all this. And he'll make a new heavens and a new earth. Then we step out into eternity. Last week was the bad news, the hard, heartbreaking topic of people without Jesus will stand before God at the great white throne in a lake of fire called hell. And now these next two messages, we're talking about heaven. In this series, if you've missed any of those, you can go to our app, you can go to our website, you can go to Facebook Live, any of those places, and catch any of those messages as we went into more detail about the events I just shared with you. Now, talking about heaven over these last two messages, I'm so grateful for Chuck Swindoll, who had an article that was titled this, Stop Criticizing Earth and Start Contemplating Heaven. And Dr. Swindoll said this, he said, since heaven will be our ultimate destination, we need to spend less time complaining about our struggles and trials on earth where we temporarily live, and more time learning as much as possible about heaven and where we will live forever. And that's what we're going to do in these next two messages. This message today, the real heaven, I just want to look at 4 common questions that we have about heaven, and we're just going to jump right in. Common question number 1 is heaven real? Is there really this place called heaven? Or is it just a place you go watch a baseball game? Well, in the 5 verses we just looked at, the word heaven was there 4 times. There's a lot of different views about heaven. Some people believe it's just a fantasy, a fairy tale, a good Disney movie. A lot of people believe that heaven is a state of mind. In other words, the human positive potential in all of us, that's what heaven is. Some people believe that heaven is just one big hallucination, that when we die, our brain releases these chemicals. So basically, heaven is this Woodstock, drugged-up vision trip or something from the 1960s. Some people believe that heaven is escapism, that you and I are so weak, we don't have the courage to face the facts that you die and that's it. I say just the opposite. I say the greatest escapism is to not face the facts that you, your soul will live forever in one or two places, heaven or hell. And then the Bible tells us that heaven is a real place, and that's what we believe. 559 times in the Bible, we see heaven in a verse, and 50 times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, 22, heaven is called a city. We see its size, its sounds, its streets, its walls. I'll talk about that in our next message. John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place. In Matthew 6, Jesus prayed. He says, our Father is in heaven. In John 6:30, heaven's the place that Jesus was at before his incarnation. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, heaven is the place Jesus went after his resurrection and ascension. Hebrews 8:1, heaven is the place Jesus is at right now today. Hebrews 11:16 says, now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. All I know is this, if there is no real heaven, there's no real God, because God is called the God of heaven 23 times in the Bible. In the Bible, the word heaven has 3 different meanings. Anytime you read the word heaven in the Bible, it's going to have 1 of 3 meanings. One is it means the atmosphere. An example of this is Isaiah 55:9 and Genesis 1:20. It's talking of the clouds, the air we breathe, where rain falls from, where the birds fly. A second meaning in the Bible when you see the word heaven is the word stellar. This is in Genesis 1, Psalm 8, verse 3. This is where the astronauts fly. This is where you look at with a telescope. The planets, the stars, the moon. But it's that third meaning of the word heaven in the Bible, the celestial, the third heaven from 2 Corinthians 12:2. This is the place where God dwells. This is the place where the angels and heavenly beings are at. And this is the place where believers go to spend forever. This heaven, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, is up. Heaven is up there, out there. We just don't know. So much we don't know. It's up. It's up there. It's out there. It's near because we get there in a twinkle of an eye. Some people say, well, heaven is just, all religions are the same. They're just boxcars all trying to go to the same place. That is so inaccurate. Dr. Criswell reminds us the Muslim's idea of heaven. He sees it as a big harem where he's going to live and indulge in his carnal lusts with 40 women. The Buddhist idea of heaven is nirvana. Nirvana means to blow out the candle. The Buddhist believes that heaven is a place of nothingness where you just are unmoved and unaware other than you exist. The Hindu believes that heaven is an extended time of vacation between your reincarnations, but the Word of God and the Christian concept of heaven is it. We are going to be with Jesus. We're going to be with one another. It's perfect, and we're going to praise Him throughout glory without end. It is a real place. Heaven is a real place. But this world is not heaven. And sometimes, believers, we get so crushed because we have fooled ourselves into trying to make this life heaven. Hear me. Heaven is real. This place is not the real heaven. I thought about this week. The unbeliever tries to create heaven on earth. Life on earth is as good as it will ever be. Hell is next, and throughout all eternity is worse than beyond words. The believer in Jesus knows this world is not heaven. Life on earth is as bad as it will ever be. Heaven is next, and throughout all eternity is better beyond words. Understand this. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, this is as good as it's ever going to get. This brokenness, lostness, disease, war, hate, crime world, this is, quote, your heaven. Because once this life is over, it is hell forever and ever and ever. But hear me, if you are a follower of Jesus, okay, I know life's hard and we struggles. This is as bad as it's ever going to get. Because we are going forward into heaven where it's going to be better forever and ever and ever. The Bible is so clear, believer in Jesus. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. Our names are written in heaven, Luke 10:20. Our treasures are in heaven, Matthew 6:20. Our eternal home is in heaven, John 14:2. Our Savior is in heaven, Mark 16:19. If our citizenship's in heaven, our names are in heaven, if we have our home in heaven, if our treasures are in heaven, if our Savior's in heaven, why do we spend so much time trying to find fulfillment in this mess? Don't put your roots down too deep here. It's temporary, but there is a real heaven, amen? Question number two, common questions. Who is in heaven? Who is in heaven? Well, our text in verse 3, it says his people are in heaven. Who are his people? Well, in these last two chapters of the Bible, we see clues in Revelation 21:24, those who are saved are rescued or delivered, and verse 27, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. We know who is in heaven, the Bible tells us. The angels are in heaven. Hebrews 12:22 says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, with an innumerable company of angels. Hundreds of millions of the heavenly hosts and angels are in heaven. We know, number two, the entire population, the people of God, the Old Testament believers like Noah and Moses are in heaven. Those who are saved through Jesus and what we see in the New Testament from all nations, from all people, all who have been born again in Lord Jesus Christ are in heaven. And there's only two ways that we actually will enter heaven itself. I mean, we're saved is how we go to heaven, but there's only one of two ways we will ever enter heaven. We have to physically die or Jesus has to physically return. I believe the divinely safe are in heaven. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, it says there's 120,000 who do not know their right from their left. When David and Bathsheba's baby died, David said, the baby cannot come back to me, but I can go towards the baby. I believe those who have never been accountable for their sins are divinely safe. I believe every baby that's ever been aborted will be in heaven. Most of all, Jesus is in heaven. You know what makes heaven heaven? It's not the place. It's the person. Jesus is what makes heaven heaven. Anyone can go to heaven. Everyone is welcome to heaven, but sadly, not everyone is going to heaven. We looked last week in that heartbreaking topic of hell. Our text was the same chapter, Revelation 21, verse 8, that those without Jesus, it says, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Jesus told us not everyone's going to heaven. He said in Matthew 7, 21, in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, I've underlined that for emphasis, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Let me share something with you. Maybe you were not aware in the Bible. There are many times that God would say someone's name twice, and it's always big events. In Genesis 22, for example, Abraham and Isaac, he said, Abraham, Abraham. In Genesis 46, he said, Jacob, Jacob. In Exodus 3, with Moses, he said, Moses, Moses. In 1 Samuel 3, he said, Samuel, Samuel. Jesus said in Luke 10, Martha, Martha. In Luke 22, Simon, Simon. In Acts 9, on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul. Jesus on the cross said, my God, my God. The reason when you see someone's name written twice or when someone's name is spoken twice, because it's a Hebrew expression of intimacy. It means more than I know you, I care for you, I have emotions about you. Now, what we see here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about a false follower of him, an unbeliever, a lost person. And we see here that there are some people that will say, Lord, Lord. Not just Lord, they'll say it twice. In other words, this is someone who is going to say, Jesus, I know you. Jesus, I have emotions about you. The next verse, verse 22, Jesus, I've done religious things in your name. And in verse 23, Jesus says, yeah, but I never knew you. There are people who think they're going to heaven who are not going to heaven. Remember, we talked last week about those two roads, the narrow road and to life and the broad way that leads to destruction. The Bible's clear there's more people going to hell than going to heaven. There are people who say, Lord, Lord. They say, Jesus, I know about you. I have emotions about you. I've done religious things for you. Because there are a lot of people who have a religion about Jesus in their head, but they've never had a relationship of salvation with Jesus in their heart. They've never seen the fact that they are a sinner, just like I'm a sinner, separated from the holy God of the universe. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. They've never admitted their sins and believed that Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave as the only Savior. They've never turned to him in faith. At the airport gate, I've had two experiences. Maybe you've shared these experiences. I've been at same airport gate, and I am staring at a TV screen, and my name is on the TV screen, and it is the standby list. I really want to go home and see Donna. I'm a little nervous about it. I'm on the standby list. I don't know if I'm going to get a seat. I don't know if I'm going to get on the plane. I don't know. There are other times I've been at that same gate at the airport. I am kicked back in my seat without a worry in the world because I've got this thing called a boarding pass. It's got my name on it. It's got my seat number on it. I know I'm on the plane. I know I'm going home. What describes heaven to you? Do you have a peace of knowing you got a seat and knowing you're headed home? Or do you have no peace? Do you feel like you're on the standby list? You're sitting here this morning, you're watching this morning, and you just don't know. You don't know if you're going to make it. You really don't know if it's going to be your home forever. You don't have to wonder anymore. Settle the issue today. Admit your sin. Turn to Jesus. Come to him and call upon your name, on his name. Question number three, what will we be like in heaven? What will we be like in heaven? When it comes to heaven, we have more questions than answers. We're not going to know until we get there. What will we be like? Will we all be 33, the age of Jesus? Will we be the age we died? We don't know those things. But we do know this. The Bible is clear. What will we be like in heaven? What will our bodies be like? We're going to have a glorified body because in 1 Corinthians 15, it teaches us these natural bodies could not exist in the spiritual sphere of heaven. We need a spiritual body for that spiritual place. So we're going to have a glorified body. Two important scriptures, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20, 21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom by the power that enables him to bring everything in his control will transform our lowly bodies so we will be like his glorious body. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, a key verse. Beloved, we are now the children of God. It has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know, it says we know, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. Did you catch that? Philippians 3:21 says, In heaven, we'll have a body. He will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. It says we shall be like him. Let that soak in. We're going to have a heavenly glorious body like Jesus' glorious body. So if I understand what Jesus' glorious body was like, I know what my body will be like. And we see, if we study the scriptures, when Jesus, after his resurrection, when he was in his glorious body, he wasn't some glowing orb floating around. He had a real body. Jesus in his glorious body, this will be us. He walked and he talked in his glorified body. He could touch, he could feel. This is amazing. In Luke 24 and John 21, he broke bread and ate. Jesus ate food in his glorified body. In Revelation 7:16 and Revelation 19:9, it teaches us we eat food in heaven, not because we need to, just for the pure pleasure of it. I know God's going to put my house right next to heaven's Krispy Kreme. I have no doubt about it. Let me show you something we'll never do in heaven. We'll never step on a scale again as long as we live. That gets Baptists worked up, I tell you what. Jesus flew in his ascension. It seems like we can fly. Jesus walked through a wall at the end of the Gospel of John into a room locked with his disciples. He walked right through a wall. He had no limitations when it comes to time in his glorious body. He could appear and reappear. He instantly could travel to a distant shore. These bodies are made in the image of Adam, and they ache and they hurt and they get wrinkles and they decay and they get tired. But our spiritual body will never age, never ache, never tire, never decay. We will have no bad hair day. We will have no runny noses. We won't have odor eaters in our shoes or underarm odor eaters under our armpits. And we will never buy a pair of pants with a waist size bigger. No breath mints. No mask. Nothing. None of those things that shows this world is broken. You know, the number one question I get about heaven is, will we recognize each other there? I get that a lot. Will we recognize people there? Well, I know when Samuel came back from the afterlife, King Saul recognized him. I know in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration that people recognized Elijah and Moses. And many, many people, when Jesus came back in his glorified body, knew who he was. I've just always thought this, I'm going to be smarter in heaven than I am on earth. If I knew somebody here, I'm going to know him then. In heaven, we will have a real, recognizable, unlimited, sinless, eternal, glorified body, just like Jesus. One more question this morning. Question number four. What will we do in heaven? What will we do in heaven? I'm about to share with you what I believe is the great secret in the heart of Christians when it comes to heaven. I believe I'm getting ready to share with you something that many Christians think, but they would never talk about. I think a lot of Christians think this about heaven, but would never say it. Here it comes. Is heaven going to be boring? I mean, are we going to sing 300 stanzas of Just As I Am? Heart practice for 3 weeks? Is it one long church service? Or are we at like some 5-star resort called Cloud Nine by the River of Life, and we just rock in a rocking chair the rest of our lives? Are we all going to have long white hair and long white robes and matching sandals and we just stand around and stare? Is heaven going to be boring? No. There is nothing boring about being forever in the presence of the breathtaking, fascinating, all-powerful Creator God of the universe. We're not going to be bored. Heaven will be a time of pleasure, of activity, of adventure, and discovery beyond our wildest dreams. We'll go throughout eternity discovering more of God and who he is and the fascination of that. We'll have a real body in a real place with real people, and we will do real things. Again, we don't know all things, and we have more questions than answers, and we won't know until we get there. But this is not exhaustive, but I know 3 things clearly we'll be doing in heaven. We will serve, we will fellowship, and we will worship. We're going to do those 3 things. Do you know that we're going to serve Jesus in heaven? It's not inactivity, idleness. We're going to work. We're going to serve him. Revelation 22:3, and there's a lot of other verses I could share with you. It says, there shall be no more curse. All the sin and evil's gone. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. God has a great plan for each of us. Throughout all eternity, we are going to serve Him. You know what that service is going to be? I have no clue. But I know working and serving down here, even if it's something you love, is tiring and frustrating and can have stress and pressure and we get worn out. That's not what service in heaven is going to be like. We will never get tired. We will never retire. It is going to be fulfilling and satisfying and enriching. And we're going to love what we do. And we can't wait to do it. We're going to be 100% satisfied. Vance Havner said, heaven is not a glorified vacation, but a glorious vocation. I know another thing we'll do in heaven. We're going to have wonderful fellowship. We read verse 3 that says that the tabernacle of God is with men in Revelation 21, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. We're going to fellowship with the angels. Think about that. Fellowship with the angels. The Bible says there are so many angels, you can't even count them. We've got a lot of introductions to do because there are hundreds of millions of angels, and we only know two, Michael and Gabriel. We've got a lot of angels to meet. And let me just clear this up right now. Believer, when you go to heaven, you do not become an angel. You don't get a halo and wings, okay? When a believer dies, we do not become angels. But we get to hang out with angels. You know who else we're going to fellowship with in heaven with? It's all the entire people of God. Imagine fellowshipping with all those Old Testament saints. Ruth and Moses and David and Noah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk up behind Daniel and go roar and just see what he'll do. And we're going to get to fellowship with all the saved people of God, all the believers and all of our loved ones, our church family members and our loved ones who have died in Jesus. What a great reunion that's coming. Dr. W.A. Criswell told the story of a Wednesday night where an old guy stood up to give a word of testimony. And he said, when I was a little boy, I couldn't stop thinking about heaven. I thought about that beautiful city. And I thought about those high walls and the beautiful foundation of precious gems. And I thought about the streets of gold and the gate of pearl. And I thought about more angels than you can even count. And then the old man continued. He says, but time passed and time passed and time passed and time passed. And my mom died. And my dad died. And my wife died. And my kids have died. And I'm the only one left. He says, now when I think of heaven, my first thought is not that beautiful city and those high walls of all those precious gems and those streets of gold and that gate of pearl and all those angels. My first thought now is that's the place where my people are. That first hello with our loved ones in heaven, we will never say goodbye again. This broken place, we say goodbye. Goodbye is not in our vocabulary in heaven. We're going to fellowship with the angels. We're going to fellowship with other believers. We're going to fellowship with God Himself. This verse right here, just these five words in Revelation 22:4, they shall see His face. No human has ever seen the full glorified face of God ever. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time. Exodus 33:20 says, no one can see God's face and live. Moses came closer than anyone when God passed by Moses. Remember what happened? God let Moses see his back, but not his face. But this is heaven, and we're in our glorified bodies like Jesus, and we're going to be in the likeness of Jesus, and so we're going to see God's face. This speaks of intimacy and fellowship that's beyond words. And hey, I know today has struggles and confusion and stress and all those things, but if you're a believer in Jesus, fix your heart on that. Day. Live your life for that day. Hear me. It is coming. The moment of all moments, the glorious moment of our eternal existence. There is coming a moment no human has laid eyes on the full glorified face of our God. But there is coming a moment when you and I will fully, finally, forever stare directly into the face and the full glory of God Himself. Fix on that. Live for that. You know, in heaven, we'll fellowship with the angels face to face, with each other face to face, and with God face to face. I am grateful for Livestream. It's exactly what we need to be doing now. But I am so looking forward to the day, and I know you are too, church family. God's created us in this life. Believers are to do life face to face. And I'm looking forward to that fellowship. I miss some of you so much when we can be back together in person, face to face. Isn't that going to be a great day, church family? So we're going to serve, we're going to fellowship, and we're going to worship. So many worship scenes we could look at in the book of Revelation. I'll pull one out, Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12. Here's what worship in heaven looks like. And at this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever, amen." Oh, we've never done it here. We've never once done it here, but we will do it there. There's coming a day we will worship God perfectly. No distractions of our mind wandering away, no yawning, no checking our watch to see what time it is, no signs that say, "Please turn off your cell phones." It's going to be perfect. But you know what is really cool, believers? We don't have to wait in heaven to serve, fellowship, and worship. We can do all that today. We don't have to wait till heaven. That's why we serve. That's why we fellowship. That's why we worship. There are some people who will tell you they're saved, but you look at their life. They have no desire to serve Jesus through his church in any way. They have no desire to fellowship with the people of God and no desire to fellowship with God by reading his word and prayer. They have no desire to worship God corporately with his people. And if there's someone who verbally says they're saved, but they have no desire to serve, no desire to fellowship, no desire to worship, I say, why do you want to go to heaven then? Why do you want to do there that what you don't want to do here? If there is someone, regardless of what they say, if they say they're saved, and they may be your loved ones, and this may break your heart, but if they have no desire to serve, no desire to fellowship, no desire to worship, it is a major red flag if they've ever been saved. We need to love them and pray for them. I don't know their heart. I'm not saying they are or they aren't. But why would you want to go there to do forever what you don't want to do here? Believers, we've got to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. That's why we pray, it's why we give, it's why we go, it's why we serve, it's why we send. It's why we tell people about Jesus. It's why we do all the missions and ministries that we do. We want to take people to heaven with us. That's why next week our dear friend Jay Louder is going to be here. Be praying. Who are you going to invite to either be on site or online that needs the Lord? And then week after that, we're going to return. There's so much about heaven. We've got so much more we need to talk with each other about heaven. I've had two surgeries in my life. I had my appendix out when I was in seventh grade, and I had shoulder surgery in the year 2000. In the year 2000, after I had my shoulder surgery, I was sitting in the waiting room of an orthopedic surgeon's office with my arm in a sling, shoulder throbbing. And scattered all throughout this orthopedic surgeon's waiting room were people with slings and casts and crutches. People hurting and aching and quiet, everyone's frowning, everyone's just got their face in a magazine. It was not a real happy place, this orthopedic surgeon. Crutches falling on the ground and people uncomfortable adjusting their slings. And this man walked in, this elderly man walked in, and there was a woman already, an elderly woman, and they were friends, they knew each other. And they started a conversation. I was not eavesdropping on them. They talked so loud, everybody in the waiting room heard them. And their topic was death. Said, "Hey, do you remember old so-and-so?" "Yeah." "He died." "No." "Yeah, he did. He died." "Well, I knew his wife died." "His wife died?" "No." "Yeah, he did." "Well, I remember that when his wife died, wasn't that shortly the same time after my husband died?" "Your husband died?" "No." "Yeah." Matter of fact, my husband died the same day that two of our neighbors died. No. Yeah. Well, what about Bill? Oh, haven't you heard? Bill's dead. No. Yeah, I'm thinking, is there anyone left alive on planet Earth? Yeah, I saw his wife at my wife's funeral. Your wife died? Heart attack. No. Yeah. And I'm looking around this orthopedic waiting room where everyone has broken bones and slings and crutches and pain and frowns anyway, and they're just hearing death, 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 death. And I'm sitting there, and I begin to think to myself as a pastor of all the brokenness and all the pain and marriages and relationships and all the suffering and death that I had seen. My shoulders throbbing, and I got a sling on, and I'm sitting there thinking of all the death that I had seen, and I begin to think, I wonder when I'm going to die. How will I die? Will Jesus come back? I wanted to bury my face in a magazine. But where I was sitting in this orthopedic surgeon's waiting room, when I looked up, I was looking right out a full glass door outside, and it was beautiful outside. It was sunny and bright blue sky. The lawn had just been mowed. And I sat there thinking, man, what a difference on this side of the door. The brokenness, the crutches, the pain. He died? No! Yeah! And on that side of the door, and then it hit me. And I began to smile. Because I thought, on this side of the door, there's brokenness and there's hurt and there's sorrow and there's pain and there's death. But at my death or the return of Jesus, that's what opens the door to the other side of the door, this real, real place called heaven. This glorious place called heaven. And I sat there in that waiting room. I'm not kidding you. I was grinning like a cat, man. I had a big old smile from ear to ear. I had this own little hallelujah, praise God, happy party going on in my heart, all by myself right there, looking out that door, thinking about heaven's just on the other side of the door of this broken place. And I so wish that couple that was talking real loud about death, I wish they would have said, you weirdo, what in the world are you smiling about? And I would have said, heaven. And they would have went, no. And I would have said, yeah.